Okay, 1 Kings will be our text, but I want you to turn to Matthew 12. First of all, Matthew chapter 12. I'll read one verse here, and then we'll go 1 Kings. Matthew chapter 12, and beginning tonight, I intend for us to do a series of messages through the first 10 chapters of 1 Kings. Look at Matthew 12, verse 42. Matthew 12, 42. Our Lord is speaking and says, the Queen of the South, that's the Queen of Sheba. You know her story. That will be the last story in our series through the first king. We'll see that last. That's the best for last. No. Queen of the South shall rise up to the judgment of this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So that's our subject, that's titled, A Greater Than Solomon is here. Now go back to 1 Kings. Greater than Solomon, King of Kings, and Lord of Lords, who is Jesus the Christ. Solomon, as you know, was the greatest king in the history of mankind. There never has been one before him or since him. Look at 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter 3. Our Lord, you know this is the chapter where Solomon, the Lord offered Solomon, or asked him to ask him what he would, and Solomon asked for wisdom, for judgment to lead the people. And verse 12, our Lord said this, verse 12 and 13, this is what he said to Solomon, I have done according to thy words, lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. And if you want to be reading this week through those chapters, you will see there's none like Solomon. The wisdom and power and might and set of greater than Solomon is here. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of greater than Solomon. Look at chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Chapter 4, verse 20 and 21. Judah and Israel were many, as the sand which is by the sea in multitude, eating and drinking and making merry. And Solomon reigned over all the kingdom, from the river unto the land of the Philistines, unto the border of Egypt, brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. So Solomon reigned over a great, great kingdom, and he himself was great. But behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Who is? Solomon had wisdom. Christ is wisdom. Solomon got his wisdom from Christ. Solomon had riches and honor, but all riches and honor are in the hands of Christ to give, all power and might. Solomon reigned over a kingdom. The Lord Jesus Christ reigns and rules among the armies of heaven and the inhabitants of the earth. All kingdoms are under his reign and rule. There's never been one like Solomon before or since until Christ, a greater than Solomon, a king of kings. All right, now you remember the story back in chapter 1. We looked at this, a couple of years ago, I believe. Chapter 1, the story of Solomon anointed king by his father David. I don't know if you remember that. I remember it well. I just thoroughly enjoyed the story. Verse 5 of chapter 1, let's just do a little browsing through chapter 1 and get to chapter 2. Verse 5 is the story of this fellow named Adonijah, who was an illegitimate brother or son of David, a brother of Solomon. He was not David's rightful son. But verse 5, then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, she was a handmaid, said, he exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and so forth. So here's this fellow who wanted to be king himself, part brother to Solomon. He wanted to be king, and he exalted himself and said, I will be king. And it's been that way from the very beginning. It started with Lucifer. You remember the story of Lucifer in Isaiah chapter 14. It tells the story of Lucifer before the world began, where Lucifer said, I will exalt my throne to the star. I will reign. I will. And God threw him down. And then Adam and Eve, Lucifer tempted them with being gods or being like God. And they said, in effect, we will. Our will be done, not God's will. We will be like God. And God put him down. And there have been many since then. The free will, the will of man, which he thinks is free. Man exalts himself. But God has only had one king, one who reigns and rules, and no one else has ever been or ever will be the king, the Lord. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here at chapter 1. You remember the story that David affirmed this to his bride. Verse 28. Then King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. And she came in to the presence of the king and stood before the king. Now Bathsheba is the bride of the king. That's a picture of the church, who's the bride of Christ, whom God affirms and confirms constantly to the church, saying, nobody else is king. You've got one king, my son, my only begotten, well beloved son, Jesus Christ. He's king. No one else reigns and rules. And that's what David said to Bathsheba. My son Solomon is going to reign in my stead. Don't worry. There are many contenders, men who would be. No, I've always determined that Solomon is to be my king. And then he said to verse 32, the king called me Zadok the priest. He called the priest Nathan the prophet. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and they came before the king. The king said to them, verse 33, take with you the servants of your Lord, and cause Solomon, my son, to ride upon mine own mule. Bring him down to Gihon. Let Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, anoint him their king over Israel. So, prophet, priest, or to anoint one king. Prophet, the priest, and the bride, they were all reassured that I just had one king, and it's Solomon. Now you anoint him, put him on the mule, parade him in the town before everyone see. And so they did. In verse 34, it says, blow ye the trumpet and say, God save King. God save King Solomon. Turn with me quickly to Zechariah 9. Zechariah 9. I was going to quote it. But you need to remember this verse. You need to look at it with your own eyes. Zechariah 9 is this famous verse concerning our Lord, which prophesied of his coming into Jerusalem. Zechariah 9, it's easy to remember. 9:9. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, riding upon an ass, on a colt, foal of an ass. So Christ Jesus alone, God's Son, only begotten Son, always has been, always will be, God's king, God's anointed, greater than Solomon. And all pretenders, go back to 1 Kings now. All pretenders shall fear him and forced to bow before him and present themselves to him. You remember when Lucifer did that in the book of Job? You remember that? In the book of Job, Lucifer was forced to come in and present himself before the Lord. Give an account of himself. As will every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. King of kings and Lord of lords. As they did Solomon, every one of these pretenders was forced to present themselves to Solomon. Adonijah, in chapter 2, Adonijah, that fellow who would be king, I'm sorry, chapter 1. Chapter 1, Adonijah, verse 50, Adonijah feared because of Solomon. Verse 50, he feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold on the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, Behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon. For lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, Let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. And Solomon said, If he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth, but his wickedness shall be found in him. He shall die. That wickedness being self-promotion, self-exaltation. If he will come after the king, he must deny himself totally. And it would be free willer must denounce all that. The king's will be done. And him reign. So Solomon, verse 53, sent, they brought him down from the altar, Adonijah. He came and bowed himself to the king, King Solomon. And Solomon said, Now he didn't promise to him. He knew he was a wicked man. He did not commit himself to the evil in him. Does that sound familiar? Solomon said, I always said to him, Go to your house. Going to deal with him later. He knows this man's wicked. Well, the story is this of a greater than Solomon. A greater than Solomon. The scripture says, God has made all things for himself, even the wicked, for the day of evil. The psalm says, The wrath of man shall praise him, and the remainder of wrath he shall restrain. The Lord allows what goes on fulfill his purpose, and what won't be removed, be restrained. God has made all things for himself. Devils, Satan, devils, wickedness, all things serve his purpose. Whether we understand that or not, he is all wise and he knows. And he overrules all things. Nothing outside of his power. And everything is in its place. Go to your house. You have. Satan is God's devil. He can only do what God allows him to do for his purpose. The rest of it, he's on the chain. The rest of it, he jerks his chain back. He can only go so far. So you have. Like a dog. He's like a dog. Get my ass. I'll deal with you later. Alright, you remember Zechariah 9, where it said first about our king. What the first thing it said about it? First description of it. Behold, thy king cometh. He's just. He's just. It doesn't say, Behold, thy king cometh, and he loves everybody so much. And he just wants everybody to love him. And he loves you, and there's no sir. Thy king cometh, he's just. Now we're going to see, if you were reading with me, you saw what all Solomon, king David, charged Solomon this. It's not a sweet thing, not a pretty thing. The first thing he's going to establish is justice. He that reigneth must be just. Yes, he must. You can't rule a kingdom completely by law. Just. I wish I'd read that scripture back. A just king. Now, right here's David's charge, Solomon, back in our text. 1 Kings chapter 2. Now, we'll stay right here for the remainder of the time. 1 Kings chapter 2. David charged Solomon, verses 1 and 2. Days that David drew nigh that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth, be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. So David is anointing his son king, and he says, be strong, show yourself a man among men. Be a man to rule his people. God's Son was manifest in the flesh. God became a man. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. He's the greatest man, stronger than any before or since. The greatest man, a greater than Solomon is here. Son of God became a man, given a charge by God Almighty before the world began, and a covenant, given a charge by God. And this is what he said in verse 3. What David said to Solomon, God said to his son. Verse 3. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his judgments, and his commandments, and his judgment, and his testimony, as it is written in the law of Moses. Keep the charge, keep his statutes, commandments, judgments, commandments, testimonies, that you may prosper and everyone under you prosper. And so he did. Solomon did it, but greater than Solomon. Solomon failed after a while. Solomon's reign and profitable rule lasted about chapter 10. Then chapter 11, he began to be his demise. Solomon failed, but greater than Solomon, he did not fail. Scripture says this in Ecclesiastes, there's not a just man on earth that doeth good and sins not. Well, there is man. But the greater than Solomon can. The just one. That's what he's called throughout the scriptures. The just one. That doeth good. None good but God. That's right. And sinneth not. Christ stood before men, devils, and God himself, and said, who is he that condemneth me of sin? Not one charge was laid to him. He sinneth not. No sin in him. The only just man, the sinless one, who kept God's law perfectly as a man. As a man. The judgments of God, the commandments of God, and the testimony given to him. The gospel that was given to Christ. That agreement between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in which Christ was given to people. Loved, chosen by God, loved by God. And Christ was given to people to come down to this earth and to do for them what they could not do, which was impossible for them to do. The greatest of men failed at, but the Lord himself showed himself. And he prospered. He accomplished all he came to do. Came to glorify God. That's what man was intended to do. Adam failed. All failed. Solomon failed, but greater than Solomon did not fail. He glorified God. He magnified God's word, God's law. He magnified it, made it honorable. He brought in a righteousness, perfect righteousness. imputed to his people. He saved his people from their sin by his shed blood on Calvary's tree. And he brought them all. Sounds like it's already been done. It goes ahead. He brought them all to glory. For whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate. Whom he did predestinate, he called. When he called, he justified. When he justified, he glorified. All God's people were in Christ when he did that work. And it's as good as done. When he did it, it was done. Accomplished. He prospered. In the days of Solomon, back when Solomon was king over Israel, that would have been a good nation to live in. Not like now. It's a mess over there now, isn't it? An absolute mess, because they don't have one like Solomon. They don't have a king at all. And a democracy. But in the days of Solomon, it would have been a good place to live. Because it says that all of Israel prospered under King Solomon. There's not a man, we're going to see that. There's not a man who did not prosper. Not a woman, no one anywhere who did without. There was zero poverty. Zero unemployment. Those who would not work, he just put in jail. Those who could not work, he took care of them. But there was zero problems for a while. And a greater than Solomon's yet. And I disagree with all these self-anointed preachers and prophets who say that there's a crisis in the church. No, there is not. There's a crisis in pagan religion. Always has been, always will be. They got real problems in pagan religion, iniquity. Always has been, always will be. But there's no crisis in the church, in God's church. It always has been complete. It always has been united. It always has been perfect and complete in God. That fell over Lynchburg years ago when there was all these televangelists were getting into trouble. He said, there's a cancer in the body of Christ. No, there is not. No, there is not. All those in Christ are perfect and complete. There never has been. Now, there have been heresies among us. There have been those who creep in who are false brethren who have caused some trouble, but the body of Christ doesn't have problems. Body of Christ, the true church, worships God in spirit, rejoices in Christ, has no confidence in the flesh, and loves one another. And that's how you know. Yeah, there's some false, some goats among the sheep, some wheat, there's some tares among the wheat, but they'll be removed. No problem in that. So, in our greater than Solomon, all Israel shall be saved. It's a good place to be under the reign and rule of this king. Nobody's without. Nobody lacking. Zero poverty. All right, here's David's charge to Solomon. And it's not all these modern day religious, so to speak, tree huggers would not like this. But this is the king. This is the charge to the king. And this was God's charge to the king of kings. I didn't know what else to call it. Everybody knows what these tree huggers are. Well, that's what these religious people are. Don't kill anybody or kill anything. Verse 5 and 6. Here's the king's charge to the new king. You know what Joab, the son of Zeruiah, did to me, what he did to the two captains of the host of Israel, on Abner, and the son of Ner, and on Amasa, the son of Jether, whom he slew and shed the blood of war at peace, put the blood of war upon his girdle and about his loins, and his shoes that were on his feet. Do therefore according to thy wisdom, and let not his forehead, his gray head, go down to the grave and pit. In other words, deal with it justly. Deal with it severely. Deal with it according to strict justice. Don't let him have peace. There's no peace for the wicked. None whatsoever. Be a just king and a judge. Solomon didn't love everybody. He slew his enemies. And this Joab now, the if you know anything about the story, Joab was one of David's captains. He seemed to be a good man. There were times when he seemed like he was a true man, didn't he, Jeanette? Thought to be a great man, highly esteemed among men. But he turned out to be a devil. And how do you know it is? His allegiance to the king. He sided with Adonijah. He sided with Adonijah against Solomon. He didn't bow to God's true king. And so David charged Solomon to kill him. Kill him. Justice must be served. And I want you to turn with me to Matthew 3, okay? We need to compare Scripture with Scripture. Matthew chapter 3. Look at this, what it says about our Lord. This is John preaching. Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. John speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ says this. You have it? Matthew chapter 3. Okay, all right. Matthew 3, look at verse 7. John says this in verse 7. When he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees, that is, the leaders of the people, like Joab was the leader of the people. And these Pharisees and Sadducees were supposed to be just and righteous leaders of the people, but they weren't. They were crooks. Read on. When John saw them come to his baptism, he said, "O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the love of wrath?" You know, I have asked that question. Who has warned men to flee from wrath? I don't even ever hear that word used. Do you? Somebody needs to. The wrath to come. John 3:36. Everybody knows John 3:16. But nobody knows John 3:36, which said that under the wrath of God, those that believe not are under the wrath of God. They should read the whole context on it. Those that believe not are condemned already. John 3:18. Well, look at this verse 10. Matthew 3, verse 10. And now, John says, the axe is laid under the root of the tree. Axe will cut trees down. You think about that tree hugger. Tree, cut trees down. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I. Yes, greater than all, greater than Solomon, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, and it burns up the chaff with unquenchable fire. That sounds like an altogether different Jesus than the one we're hearing today as well. That this one who came had an axe in his hand and a fire. And he said in another place, "I'm not come to bring peace, but what? A sword." Look at chapter 21 with me, Matthew 21. And you know back there in our text where that Solomon, they put him on that mule and he rode into town. And it was prophesied in Zechariah, Christ doing the same. The just one having salvation. And so he came into Jerusalem, Matthew 21. And the first thing he's going to do when he gets into town, now Jerusalem is where the throne of David was, right? Now here's the rightful king coming into his town, Jerusalem, where the throne of David is, and he's coming in. And the first thing he's going to do is clean house. And that's what Solomon's doing right there. He's cleaning house. David said, the first thing you do, Solomon, is you clean house. clean sweep. That's the only one that's left for those that are true. True to my cause. True to your cause. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did. Look at Matthew 21, verse 12. When Christ went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer. He made it a den of thieves. In another place he said, the merchandisers of men sold. And what I don't need to tell you about the corruption that's in religion today. All you hear about, all you see, is money making stuff. Well, not in Christ's church, because Christ cleaned house. None of that stuff goes on in the true church. It's not all about money. Not counting money or heads, it's counting blessings. We don't need man's money. Well, we need a way. We need to dig a well, people. Well, let's have a little bank safe. Let's have children. Let's have a car wash. Let's appeal to the sons of men. Let's let the world get our money for God's cause. No, sir. Not on your life. We won't drink water if it needs. We'll go thirsty. That's what was it Abraham that said, well, there was a king that was going to give Abraham some things. It was Nehemiah. One king was going to give Nehemiah some things to help deal with the temple. He said, I won't do it. Said what needs to be said in this generation. It's a den of thieves. Merchandise. They can merchandise. Trying to sell salvation to people that don't want it. Trying to sell Jesus. Well, my house. But so Christ cleaned his house and he purged it, and someday we'll purge all things by fire. And he'll gather his elect unto him to be judged by him. Back to the text. 1 Kings 2. Just like Solomon, but on a greater scale because he's a greater son. Justice to these pretenders. Justice to them. You know the story of Shimei, don't you? Remember that fellow named Shimei? We've had time to go back and look at. David was on the run from Absalom. And there's a fella, because David didn't look like he wasn't sitting on a throne, and he just looked like anybody traveling. And his kingdom didn't look like much at the time. His fellow Shimei fancied himself to be somebody. And he came down where David was passing by, David and his men. And Shimei came down and started cussing David. You know the story? Saying all sorts of things. Who do you think you are? And it was Joab that said, pulled his sword out and said, let me go cut this dead dog's head off after he cuts the king. And David said, no. The Lord did it again. The Lord sent him to cuss me. I don't know why. But the Lord sent him to cuss me. Put up your sword. Vengeance is his, it's not ours. He will repay it. But if you show it, the Lord will take care of him. Well, David's dying now. And he gives a charge concerning Shimei. He ain't forgotten him. Mm-mm. Scripture says the Lord will not hold him guiltless in case his name is claimed. God does not deal with everyone that cusses him, everyone that blasphemes him. On the spot. And a lot of it goes on. The name of God is on the lips of everyone from our little children on up, people. Everybody, oh God. But God has caused his people to fear his name, to worship his name. They that know thy name will put their trust in thee. Those that fear his name. God's people don't use that name except to praise him and glorify him and worship him. And you put a watch over your lips that you never utter the name Lord, the name God, the name Jesus, the name Christ ever except in worship and fear. Well, this world is just hurling that name out there, putting it on their bumper stickers, on their t-shirt, just abusing, blaspheming, cussing. They might as well cuss him. I know they're doing what they do in the name of him, but it's blasphemy. It's too familiar, it's too flippant, it's too careless. God, Jesus, he ain't no carton of milk. Like Shimei before David. I know. I'm going to deal with it. The Lord knows them that are his. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone in the name of Christ depart from with them. Well, look at this. Now, this is good. I've got to hurry. I've got to quit. Adonijah. Remember him, that fellow who would be king, had to usurp the throne from Solomon? He conned his mama, Bathsheba, or his David's mama. He appealed to the king's mother to give him a wife. He didn't have a wife. And he appeals to Bathsheba to ask David to give him that maiden that David had served David there and he died there. And he seemed like a sweet man, had a nice sweet, seemed like a nice man. He conned Bathsheba and asked him that of Solomon. In other words, he appealed to the king's mother. Anybody who appeals to the king's mother is going to get strict justice. Anyone who goes to the king's mother, you don't go, there's only one need of it. You don't go to the king's mother asking for things, you go to the king. Now, bad night, but this was bad what he asked for. And Solomon saw right through it. Solomon said, and this, you know, hurried up. Solomon said, let's read verses 21 through 25. Bathsheba said, let Abishai and Shumamai be given to Adonijah, thy brother, to mine. Your brother Adonijah, he's a sweet fellow. Let him have that maiden for a wife. King Solomon answered and said unto his mother, now he's speaking to his mother. King Solomon said unto her, his mother, why dost thou ask Abishai and Shumamai for Adonijah? Ask him the kingdom also. He's my elder brother. Even for him, for Abiathar, that priest, Joab, the son of Zeruiah. And King Solomon swear by the Lord, saying, now he's speaking in the Spirit of God. God do so to me, and more also, that Adonijah has not spoken his word against his life. Spare him, oh, spare him. God doesn't hear the king's mother. God hears only the king. Verse 24, now therefore as the Lord liveth which hath established me and set me on the throne, David my father, who hath made me a house, as he promised Adonijah, shall be put to death this day. And King Solomon sent by the hand of Nathan, the son of Jehoiada, and he fell on that old boy's head and slew him. And so the king dealt with his mother and all those who come through her. And you know that story. You remember? Where Mary, standing outside, wanted special favors of the Lord. Her mother's outside. And he said, who is my mother? And anybody feeling for Mary going through the wrong person. If Adonijah had gone straight to Solomon, he might have obtained mercy. Maybe we're Solomon is merciful, as we shall see. She don't go through anybody else. Who is my mother? And he threw out the false priest, verse 26 and 7, Abiathar the priest. She said unto Abiathar the priest, said the king, get to your own field. You're worthy of death. He thrust him out, verse 27. Joab was slain, verse 30 and 31. You remember Joab went to the altar and laid hold on the horns of the altar? And Joab said that. He said, I'll die right here. He said, tell the king, I'll just die right here. Lay hold of the altar. You don't lay hold of the king. wants to get a companion, so that's not an open door. Well, verse 31, he killed him. Then Shimei was slain, verse 36 and 7. You remember that story, which we had time. He told Shimei, verse 36, in his wisdom, he said, you build your house in Jerusalem and you stay right here, don't you move. He's going to test you, Lord. You stay right here, don't ever leave. Don't ever leave here. You build your house, you abide right here. If you go anywhere, if you want to set foot outside Jerusalem, you're going to die that day. Abide right here, and you'll be all right. Move a step outside, you're a goner. She now did something that seemed like an okay thing to do, didn't he? Brother Ed, he got a couple of servants that left town, and he went to get them. Seemed like a good thing to do. No, hey, Solomon said, abide right here, don't move. I don't care what it is, you stay right here. And now in verse 44, David said to Shimei, I know it's all the wickedness you've been privy to. David knew him, as did David his father. I mean, Solomon, as did David his father. Therefore, your wickedness will return upon your own head. King Solomon is going to be blessed. The throne of David shall be established. Justice. His throne to be established. So the king commanded the son of Jehoiada, which went out and fell on Shimei, and he killed him. And so it says, now look at this. This is the first two chapters of Solomon's reign. Solomon is anointed. Solomon is David's king. He's the greatest king ever lived. Solomon. All must bow to Solomon. And his kingdom was established. What was established with? What's the first thing it was established? The word love was never mentioned. Justice. He's a just God. He's a just king. Solomon's just. Also, that's Solomon. There's a fellow there in chapter 2. Named, he was an old man that showed kindness to David. 80-year-old man when David was on the run. 80-year-old man that hates him. Or not, you know, he has him. But he showed kindness to David. He and Maker and another fellow brought a bunch of. You wouldn't believe what all they brought down to David. Proved their loyalty to the true king and their love. They proved the sincerity of their love by they brought beds and just wagon loads of grain and fruit and water and everything you could think of to refresh the king and all of his subjects, and thereby proving themselves to be true to the king and not his servers. Well, David remembered that, and he told Solomon, you be kind to the sons of that fellow who was kind to me. And Solomon received that charge also. Be kind to those. And our Lord said this, as much as you've done unto least one of these brothers, you've done it unto me, and I'll show kindness to you. All those loyalty to my father. All the Lord to me, Lord is in the name of kindness at the hand of the king. Then listen, everyone shall be brought down to the grave, and he knows them all. The Lord knows them all. He is wisdom. All right, let's stand. Our great God and Lord, who Jesus Christ, King of Kings, we pray unto thee, thanking you for your word, thanking you for the charge that you gave to your son concerning enemies and rebels such as we are, but who have found grace in thy sight because of that covenant with your son. We thank you for giving him that charge and giving us to him, the men which God has given him. Lord, make us true and loyal subjects to the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Make us true in our hearts.